And I came back yesterday from Florida for my vacation. I was there for a few hours, and a few things got me very, very confused. So I want you to think about it. I'm not coming to make fun, but just to have a little bit of a Havana. What does the word vacation mean? What does it mean, vacation? There's such a thing as a vacation, right? But what does it mean? I'm very confused. I met people on vacation. This year I spoke in a different place. I spoke the previous years in a place where they showed the Navi Shir on Masa Shabbos. So I met mostly Floridians. Truth is, most people, I don't know who they are, so I assumed they were from Florida. So this time, they moved the speech somewhere else, for whatever reason. So I met a lot of New Yorkers. It was very, very confusing to me. I know what they're doing there. It's cold and there it's warm. I can sympathize, especially today. But what does it mean, vacation? What does it mean when someone goes on vacation? Can someone teach it for me? I'm making fun. People go on vacation. Relaxed? That's what vacation means. What?
Relax and recuperate.
Recuperate? Recuperate from what?
Change of scenery.
Taking a break from
life.
From life? Is life so miserable that you want to take a break from life? Do I understand vacation is like this? You're stressed. There's things you have to do. So you're on vacation, you do the things you want to do, not the things you have to do. That's what I would think. No. What's vacation? Instead of doing the things you have to do, you do the things you want to do. All right, some people want to learn, some people don't want to learn. But I just don't understand. To me, it's mind-boggling that people go on vacation and they're just blank. I don't understand it. People who go on vacation, when it comes to davening, they daven in a b'di'evad d'kazman. I couldn't understand that. I asked somebody I know here from Brooklyn. I said, you're on vacation. Why are you davening Maariv in the minyan that's 2 minutes after Shkia? Why don't you just have Maariv a little later? It's not like Maariv, later Maariv. Why don't you daven l'chatzol d'kaz man? You're on vacation. What does vacation mean? Vacation means you have time to do things that you want to do. Makes sense. People go on vacation and... Can someone explain it to me? I don't understand. There was somebody there, I was there for davening. Somebody I know well. So Milchazar Sashat, he was choosing somebody else. So I know him well enough to tell him off. And then afterwards I went over to him, I said, in Brooklyn you talked to him Chazar Sashat? He said, no. So what does it mean you're on vacation? Huh? Anybody understand? I mean, someday you're going to go on vacation, you still, no? I don't mean it's a joke. I mean, vacation, what's vacation? A person works, it's hard to work. A person's blessed with a house full of kids, it's very hectic, you go on vacation. I understand. But when you go on vacation, I don't understand. It means you leave, like, everything else behind? All your responsibilities behind? I don't know. A vacation is a time you can catch up on Daf Yomi, not a time that you fall further behind. I don't know. It's something you have to think about. Someday you go on vacation and you have to decide what it means to be on vacation. Vacation, you know, people work. It's a curse that people have to work. It's a curse. Vacation means you're away from your curse. So what do you do now? So you do make something useful out of it, whatever it might be. But it doesn't make any sense to be on vacation and do things in a bigger, b'di'evadik way. I don't know. It seemed to be very, very strange, the whole this whole vacation business. I couldn't. Why? Because that says in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch in the Chabad says, look by Hilchas Maariv. It says that it's not lechad chilah to daven right after Shkia. It says lechad chilah you should daven when it's dark. I mean, sometimes people are torrid. People have to have a seder, or people go to work. Whatever it is, I understand it. But a person who's afterwards just vegetating, I don't understand it. That's what I don't understand. The Shulchan Aruch says not to daven right after Shkia. I daven sometimes right after Shkia if it's my Siddurim better, or if I'm traveling. There are times I daven right after Shkia. I don't know, you should just think about it. When you go on vacation, it's a time to accomplish things you want to accomplish in a calm way. I don't know. When I got married, my father gave me a few points of advice. So one advice he gave me was about vacation. You go on vacation, you go with your wife on vacation, so what are you going to do? You're going to spend the whole day in Beis Medrash? Your wife's going to, that's not what she, might not be what she wants, you know. So my father told me what you do is you wake up very early. You go learn. So your wife is sleeping, that's fine. And then during the day, you take a nap. So that wives are okay with. Because vacation, you take a nap, you know, it's part of vacation. So that was good advice. No? But you go on vacation, you should have goals, you should have an idea of what you want to accomplish. And I don't know. So I met a fellow there who's coming to the Navi Shir for about 20 years, maybe 25 years. He comes every Matzah Shabbos, same seat. I became good friends of his. So he apologizes, I'm not going to be there Matzah Shabbos. I'm here. I'm coming back Sunday. I said, fine, but in Florida, I think there are two or three places they showed a Navi Shir. He said, why? He said, I'm on vacation. So what's he going to do Matzah Shabbos? I don't know. Get in a fight with his wife because they have nothing to do. I understand. And I think vacation is also a time to be an Eved Hashem and a vacation. If you want to rest, rest. But do something. My mom used to say that he said over about Thomas Edison. His wife told him he works very hard, you should go on vacation. So he said, what's vacation? So vacation is you think about the place you'd most rather be and you just spend your day there. So he went back to his laboratory. That's what I'm told. But no, I mean it. When you, especially a working person, you have vacation, it should be useful time. It should be time that you make use of. To me, it's the strangest thing. I mean, I don't know if it's nice to say it. I'll say it anyway. You know, you go into this place over there, you see all these Brooklyn, mostly elderly Jews who can't take the cold, and they go, and that's fine. But they have like this uniform for vacation. Mm-hmm. They have this flat cap. You ever saw the flat caps they used to wear in Poland? Do you know what I mean, the flat caps? So they have these flat caps and these striped across shirts. I don't know why. It's the style, striped across shirts. They make a person look heavier, I think. It's appropriate for vacation. And they're all wearing it. So I couldn't believe it. So there's a fellow there my age. I still consider myself young. So I said, what are you doing here? He said, I took my family to Orlando. We were staying here overnight. I said, where'd you get that flat cap from? Well, you look so strange in it. You're looking like an old man. And so he laughed. I think when you go in the building, they give you one. That's changes them. But I mean it with Tayelis, you know, vacation, you serve Hashem when you have vacation too. You could rest, you could relax, but you do something useful. You go on vacation, you should have goals, even on vacation. The person has to know what to do on vacation. It's strange. Very strange, I don't know. But a lot of things that people do strange, I think about it, if you talk about it, you realize how cuckoo it is. But, I don't know. A lot of times I make fun of people who sleep too much. So I know nobody agrees. Fine. But what about the people who talk about how tired they are a whole day when they're on vacation? Does that make any sense? You ever hear, I want you to notice how often people tell you how tired they are. Why are they advertising? You should think about it. Why are people advertising that they're tired? You ever talk to somebody? And somehow they tell you how tired they are. No? People don't talk to you that way? So when your wife tells you how tired you are, that's part of the ksuba. You know, you have to listen. I don't know why. You know, it's funny. The husband can be up all night, and the wife tells how tired he is. You know, how tired she is. So okay, so you listen. That's all part of the deal. But why are intelligent people talking about how tired they are? Did you notice that people talk? They won't talk to me about it. It doesn't happen to you. You don't meet people and they tell you how tired they are. Why are they telling you? And they tell you they have a flat tire, I understand, they want to change a tire. Tell you they're tired, why? It's somehow just somehow a focus on things that are, I don't know, I think the Yetzer Hara of people. You know, this do nothing on a vacation or sleep and stay in bed, it's a special Yetzer Hara, so people talk about it all the time. I don't know. I just came back from Florida with this hergish that people are cuckoo. I don't understand. I understand they go. It's warm there. I understand everything. But I don't understand that. I don't know. I only saw them for a little bit of time. They were nice enough to come to my speech also. They listened. They were quiet. They laughed at the jokes. It was very good. I think the median age of the people there was somewhere above 70. But, you know, I have a loud voice. So I told them, I don't need the mic. So the fellow whispers to me, the people here don't hear well. You do need a mic, you know. But what I'm saying is not that I'm not saying to be funny. I just, you know, someday I'm going to go on vacation. And Ma's a vacation. You know, in Hebrew, what do I call vacation? Chofesh. What does chofesh mean? In Yiddish, say afraya yid. Chofesh. Chofesh means you have no responsibilities. That's what chofesh is. That's chofesh. Do you have anywhere in Tanakh that anybody went on vacation that's mentioned? Anywhere? Elisha at one point goes on vacation. But someday went on vacation, but doesn't have to say it. What?
Had a summer house.
Yeah. So what was the summer house?
Expressed in great detail.
Expressed in great detail. It was his palace. Okay. I don't know. This just, I don't know. I came back. I was besides myself. You see people there. I mean, you talk. I was in a place, spoke in a place where that building itself has at least 100 for me in. You would expect, you come there, in Chamar times, to be at least one person with a sefer. Open, even a shmoozing, but at least pretending. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Because some day, all learned the whole day, and they were tired from it, but I don't know. When you're on vacation, have me in mind. Put aside some time for serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Give him meiser from your day, you know, give him something. I don't know. To me, it's just very, very strange. Not as strange as seeing people strap themselves in machines that spin them around and they pay for the opportunity. That also don't understand. Anyway, when David stayed in Brooklyn today, so he has to hear it better, right? Okay. Let me tell you what I think is a... I think it's a major point on a Sif in Shulchan Aruch and a Hanhoga by Klal Yisrael, and it needs a teretz. I didn't find neither the Ha'or, at least as I presented to you, nor the teretz anywhere. But since we're coming on to Rosh Chodesh Adar, it's something you can think about, I guess, for 3 weeks until Purim. If someone comes up with a good teretz better than mine, I'll be very happy. There's a minig that apparently only Ashkenazim have. It's in the Ramah. That during Kriyas HaMegillah, the Ramah says, Yesha Kosvu, Shenoigen Loimer Dalip Sukim Shal Geula V'Kol Ram. You all know this. During the Kriyas HaMegillah, we have a minig to say what the Ramah calls the Arba Psukim Shal Geula, the four Psukim of Geula that we say V'Kol Ram. Now, there's an additional minig which came much later to say the B'nai Haman out loud that I'm not talking about today, and that I heard people darshan about. Wait a minute, it comes from, there's a ragat shav, there's nice Torah on it. But what about the arba psukim shal geula? We have now four psukim of geula that we learn. Now, if you just said, read four psukim of geula, and I would open up the Megillah, which I have now in front of me, I would find great psukim of Geula to say that everyone should say it loud. I mean, maybe the pasuk of Kiswa Yehudim Katoy Beinechem, isn't that Geula? I was raised Kiswa Yehudim Katoy Beinechem. That sounds like a very good, Well, this is the best pasuk shal Geula. Nasan Hamelach VeYehudim Asher B'chol Yivir LiKol V'Lamid Al Nafshem LaHashmin VaHarayg LaAbid Es Kol Chel Amav Dina Atzar Ma'isam. Isn't that a pasuk shal Geula? No. Well, which are the psukim shal geula? There are plenty of wonderful psukim shal geula to read. Now, what are the arba psukim shal geula? So the four psukim are Ish Yehudi, Hayah B'Shushan Habirush, Shmei Mardechai. That's a pasuk shal geula. It's back, that's the Pesach Gula. It's in the beginning. It's before the Tzara. Yishud Yerushalayim Bishmai Mordechai. First pasuk is all about Mordechai. Okay. The second pasuk, Mordechai Yotza. It's again about Mordechai. Mordechai Yotza Melefnei HaMelech. Belvush Malchus Tchelas Chor Terezav. That's pasuk Shogula, I guess so. But it's again about Mordechai. The third pasuk, Lehudah Ma'aser V'Simcha Sasim Yikar. Okay, that's good. That's a pasuk Shogula. The fourth pasuk is the pasuk at the end. Ki Mordechai HaYehudi Mishnah Melech Hashrei Rishkod LaYehudi V'Rotzei Rebechav. It's all about Mordechai. No, these are Arba Pesukim Shel Gula, the Pesukim Shel Mordechai. Three out of the four Pesukim are clearly talking about Mordechai.
Well, the second pasuk so, that was part of the Yeshua
part.
So
it was certainly part of the Yeshua, but the focus is on Mordechai. What's a bigger pasuk of Gula? That Mordechai Yotze Melfnei HaMelech Bufush Malchus or Nasan Melech Yehudim Shechol Leviel Yikol Avala Meir Anaf Shem Lashma Lari Galabi Es Kol Chelam. No, Shel Gula. So this needs to be, or why these are called Arba Pesukim Shel Geula. It gets a little worse. On the pasuk Lehudim Ha'Sa'ir V'Simcha V'Sasim V'Yikar, there's a brisker Rav. It's printed in the back of the newer Al HaTayrus. It has on Purim in the back on Megillah. Brisker Rav says something which says in the Manes Halevi. He says, what was the Lehudim Ha'Sa'ir V'Simcha? What was the Simcha? Now everyone knows the Gemara Darshan, they had Torah and Mila and everything, but Pshat. What was the Simcha? He says, it sounds like the Simcha, Shoshanas Yaakov, if you call Shoshanas Yaakov, it's all of a Samecha, they were happy. B'Roisim Yaakov, Tchelas Mordechai. Their happiness was seeing Mordechai. That's what the happiness was, they didn't get killed. If you look at the Seder HaPesukim, that's what it really says. Because these two psukim are one following the other. Mordechai Yotzel Ve'amelch Bevushmachus Tcheles, etc. Lahudim Ha'isar Sosa Vikar. V'roisim Yachet Tcheles Mordechai was the Simcha. That means even the Pasik, Lahudim Ha'isar V'Simcha Sosa Vikar, seems also to be about Mordechai. It also seems like all four psukim are about Mordechai. So three out of four certainly are about Mordechai. Yehuda Ma'aser, which nobody can complain that's one of the Pesukim Shel Geula, but at least the Brisker Rav there writes that it's a simin, not a siva. He says Mordechai is the simin of the Geula, not the siva of the Simcha. It's a simin of the Simcha. But in the Manes Halevi, he writes that that Mordechai was what was Mesaveh Klal Yisrael. They saw Mordechai. V'roisim Yachet Chelas Mordechai. So you have to remember only very few people saw Mordechai. Mordechai lived in Shushan. There's 127 Medinas. Baraisim Yachad Chelas Mordechai. What? The Sanhedrin. How many people actually saw him? How many people saw him?
He was
on Torah world. They had him all the time. But how many Yidnas could see him? Everyone in Shushan. Everything he's saying is true, but what does that have to do with how many people saw him?
Because he was brought him down to the Gauls. He was the Zion.
So how many people saw him? Okay, good. They did see him. Anyway, this is the Ha'ara as we come to Parsha Shkolin, which somehow crosses crosses the path and definitely needs a Bior, and I'd like to talk about a Yesod and an old Yesod which has always new applications, and maybe to understand the Simcha Mordechai, how Mordechai is the Simen HaGeula. I mentioned to you in the past, talking about Ben Adam L'Chaveray, that there are times you do something for someone because you have to do it. That doesn't show any kesher with the person, doesn't show an ava to the person, nothing. The bus driver stops and lets you on the bus, it doesn't mean he likes you. It's his job. He's got to let you on. Ava comes when someone does something he doesn't have to do. Someone does something for you he doesn't have to do. That's Ava. It's Yisoid in Bein Adam L'Chaveirai. It's Yisoid in Bein Adam L'Ishtai. It's Yisoid in life that what counts is when you do something extra. What counts is when you do something more. I mentioned it here many times that no married woman is all excited about the fact that her husband gave her a wedding band. That ring doesn't even count as a gift. Like, you have to give a wedding band. You can't be married without it. No woman says, oh, it's a great wedding. He gave me a wedding band. Like, it's meaningless. It's not meaningless. You get married with it, but it's a contract. It's a deal. It doesn't show ahava, even a wedding band. On the other hand, if you give a nice trinket, a little thing that could cost very little, that means a lot, because you don't have to do it. You're not obligated to do it. It's an old yisoid in Chaye Adam. One day I'm going to collect all the places, because it seems every time you bump into things, this yisoid crops up again and again. And we should really make a list. Maybe somebody has a list for me, but it's come up repeatedly as a yisoid. The Siddur, Psukei Dezimra, the Ikar of Psukei Dezimra is, the Ikar of Psukei Dezimra is Ashrei and Halalukas. How do you know that's the Ikar? Baruch Shomer, Yishtabach, we say B'Shirei David Avdecha. What's Shirei David? Shirei David is Til Kala Neshama Taloka. It's Shirei David. What we say afterwards came later. Now we have a minute to say Oz Yashir in Psukei Dezimra. I don't think there's any makar for it in the Gemara. I'm sure there's no makar to say Oz Yashir anywhere in the Gemara. We have a minute to say Oz Yashir, and it's first of all one problem is which I saw in the Mafteach of the Frankel Rambam. He brings that in the Dibros Moshe. He brings this kasha from the Dibros Moshe and one other sefer. Why the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah that when you say Pesukim of Torah Nevi'im and Ksuvim, like you say in the Rosh Hashanah Musaf, you have to say Torah first. Nach comes after Pesukei Shel Torah. So he asks, why don't you say Oz Yashir before B'Shirei David, before Tehillim? You're going to stick in Oz Yashir, stick it in right away after Baruch Shabbat. You want to say Pesukim of David, say Mizol Seder, and then stick in Oz Yashir. Oz Yashir should be before the Pesukim of Nach. The Rambam brings a minig to say Oz Yashir after Yishtabach. Now, the Gemara doesn't say anything about Oz Yashir. It came later. So the Rambam brings this minig to say Oz Yashir after, in other words, you say Yishtabach, then you say Oz Yashir, then you say Baruch Hu. It brings such a hanhog. I don't think anybody has that hanhog of Bizman Hazeh. But the Rambam brings that there also are such a hanhog. Rather, this is brought when they argue about saying Shri Amalas Mimamakim between Yishtabach and Baruch Hu, they are also Aser. Being mafsik between Yishtabach and Baruch Hu. So they bring this Rambam as a makar that you're allowed to say psuk in between. But Halei Davaru, as Yashir between Yishtabach and Baruch Hu, what's it doing there? Why is it there? Besides the question of why we ate it as Yashir in the first place, but why is it there? So these yisoid regarding Kriyas Yamsuf, which again, it's a yisoid I had seen in the past when I was in Eretz Yisrael, this for the day a month ago, I went to learn in our Sameach, and I didn't go to Beis Medrash. I know a lot of people there. I wanted to be able to learn, so I went up to the Ezra's Noshin to learn. And there was a sefer there I don't think I ever saw before. The name of the sefer is Tzemach David. It's written by one of the Dayanim of Satmar, of the city of Satmar in pre-war Europe. And he has a beautiful shtickel, and the Haggah points that it's five places in the sefer in different parashiyos and shemais. And he says the following yisoid, which is something similar to the idea that we always speak about. He says, the Makla Yisroel of Mitzrayim, they didn't know if the Makis were coming because of the rishis of the Mitzrim, or because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ava to Klal Yisrael. He says, in Mitzrayim, every nes was a nes of punishment. There was no nes of Hatzalah. In other words, the Mitzrim had a Shinoi HaTeva, their water turned to blood. And by Yidden, the Shinoi didn't take place. Their water was water. So we say, it's a miracle, they both drank from the same cup, he got blood, he got water. But the Yid had Teva. Yid had Teva. It's not normal to have frogs in your house. You know, frogs in the house. The guy had the Shinuyim at Teva were punishments.
So, so then why left the Yid?
Because
anybody
that
had a slave, it should have happened to
them. So the punishment happened to
everybody
but the Yid.
The Mitzvah, after Yid left, enslaved somebody else.
You're right, but therefore what? There's no question the Rabbi Shalom punished the Mitzrim because they enslaved the Jews. But because Kadosh Baruch Hu hates rishis.
He wanted to because it didn't happen by any other slaves in the other nations. It just happened over here from the
Yidden. Okay, it's true. It happened before the Yidden. There's no question it happened for the Yidden. It was promised to Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov, and it took place. There's a pasuk in Tehillim that says, "B'Mitzrayim, Aviseinu lo hivinu nifloisecha." Mitzrayim lo hivinu nifloisecha. It says the Mitzrayim, they didn't understand the miracles when they were in Mitzrayim. It says that's the point. Kadosh Baruch Hu, you're right. Kadosh Baruch Hu came to save Klal Yisrael, but his saving he did through Moshe Rabbeinu. He was obviously pointing at the Yidden. But the darga of Avos Yisrael wasn't shown. The darga of Sinas Harishon was what was shown. So when Klal Yisrael went out of Mitzrayim, there was still a certain level of confusion. They were a Mem Tesharei Tuma. Maybe God's not happy with them. The Rabbi Shalom promised the others that he's gonna take them out of Mitzrayim. So he's taking them out of Mitzrayim. There's no the Hergish of Ava that should come from so many miracles was still lacking. It was still lacking. Because they still felt inadequate. It must have been punctuated by the fact that when they said they're not interested in taking out gold and silver, Moshe Rabbeinu told them, no, God said, Shalom Yomer HaSizokin, I promised it to Avraham Avinu, so therefore you have to take it out. So Vaita, why am I doing it? God didn't say, I love you so much, I want you to be rich. God said, no, I promised Avraham, so take it out. So Klal Yisrael went out of Mitzrayim with great simcha, with great joy, but they still, the feeling of Am HaNivchar was something missing. It's a Schus Avos, yeah, but they're not deserving. Now, if you understand that, you understand why by the Yamsuf they were scared. They were afraid. Now, so Kitim, they panicked. Why? Had they understood that Hashem took it out of Mitzrayim because of his Ahava for Klal Yisrael, they wouldn't have panicked. God doesn't do a couple of months worth of extraordinary miracles just to have them drown in the Yamsuf. But they panicked because they weren't sure. Maybe they went out because of the promise to Avraham Avinu. Okay, now they're out. Now they're on their own. Kriyas Yam Suf, the reverse happened. The miracle was a miracle of Hatzalah. The miracle was to save Klal Yisrael. The Teva was the killing of the Mitzrim. The Mitzrim didn't die. The Etzem death was not miraculous. The Pasuk says, "Vayoshav Hayom Leisanai." The death of the Mitzrim was that the Yam went back to its natural state. Vayoshav Hayom Leisanai. In other words, it was the opposite. There, the miracle was Hatzalah, and the nature killed the Mitzrim. Alright, Rashi says they went up and down in the water, all kinds of miracles that happened within the Teva, but the Etzem drowning of them was a Dover Tivi. That's when they sang Shira. The point is that even if HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes you out of a terrible Shibbet and your kids are being thrown into the Yam, and you know, God makes the Mitzvah force the men to do the woman's work, the woman doing the man's work, and all the other things that happen, and you go out, you're happy. They went out and tried happily, but you're not inspired. There's no inspiration to rise to serve the Rabbi Nishalaylam from things that happen technically. It's only when a Kadosh Baruch Hu shows Ahava. When a Kadosh Baruch Hu shows a darga of connection, of Ahava, of doing something more, Kriyas Yamsuf was something more. Mitzrayim, he promised Avis. He told Avis to get out of Mitzrayim. And once they get out of Mitzrayim, what's next? Klal Yisrael has to accomplish. Kriyas Yamsuf was the showing of Ahava. The Shira was the response to the Ahava. And Kriyas Yamsuf, the Bizas Hayam was more than Bizas Mitzrayim. Why should it be more than Bizas Mitzrayim? Shalomar says, okay, they took out a certain amount, and Bizas Yamsuf, they weren't promised, they take out, would they get more? He says, when you do it by Ahava, you do it differently. When you do it with love, you do it differently. Kriyas Yamsuf was Ahava. Now, if I can trouble you for a siddur, I want to tell you something you daven every day, and I'm sure you don't realize it. I'm sure you don't realize what you do every day. How many times do we have a mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim? Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim is twice a day, plus Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim Leil Pesach. Every day, you know that? It says in the art scroll? You should have in mind. Kiddush is part of Kiddush. But it says here in the art scroll, little letters. When you say, you should be mechavan to keep the mitzvah saseh. You aware of that? Mitzvah tzrichas kavana. That's more important than anything I'm telling you today. Oscar says, Yechavan lekai mitzvah saseh, shal zchir tzis mitzrayim. Says in Shulchan Aruch also. It says even the Oscar. He says, you say tzis mitzrayim, you say tzis mitzrayim. That's the deraisa. Every time that we mention the Yizchiras Yetzias Mitzrayim as mitzvah, afterwards we talk at length about Kriyas Yamsuf. We talk at length about it. I don't know if you realize, when we say Ezra Saviseinu, so it says Emes Mitzrayim Galtonu, there's one line about Yetzias Mitzrayim and a dozen lines about Kriyas Yamsuf. Right? We say Emes Mitzrayim Galtonu Shem Lekenu Besavad Nisanu Kol B'chreim Arav Tachisol Galto. That's a line. Then we say, this is all Kriyas Yamsuf. And when the Chazan says, and you say, that's Kriyas Yamsuf. Where did they say, Hashem? Right to Kriyas Yamsuf. And when the Chazan says, you say, Hashem Yim Laich Lailam Voed, that's when did they say, Hashem Yim Laich Lailam Voed? You ever think about it? That's Kriyas Yamsuf. This whole shtickle is about Kriyas Yamsuf. And the same thing by Maariv. Be'emunah Kol Zayin, the same thing. We talk about Kriyas Yamsuf. And the same thing the Seder night. The Seder night, Tov Yetzias Mitzrayim, and then what do? We say, Emer Me'ata, B'Mitzrayim Loku, Eser Makos, V'lo Yom Loku, Chamisha Makos, Masayim Makos, right? Every time you talk about Kriyas Yetzias Mitzrayim, it's followed by Kriyas Yamsuf. There's no mitzvah of Zeichel of Kriyas Yamsuf. Certainly the night of the 15th of Nisan, there's no mitzvah to talk about Kriyas Yamsuf, which didn't even happen yet. Why do we talk about Kriyas Yamsuf? Kriyas Yamsuf is the inspiration, it's the Ahava. It's the thing that shows, it's like Kadosh Baruch Hu did something extra, something more. When you do Ba'ava, Mitzrayim Laku Eser, here it's 50. Here it's 200, 250. When you do Ba'ava, it's more. You do what you have to do, you do what you have to do. When you do it by Ahava, you do more. That's the way it is. You pay a ticket. You have added a few extra dollars for the city. Huh? You get a ticket. Never got a ticket. You have added a few extra dollars, the city could use the money, no? Huh? There's no Ahava. You do what you have to do. You're stuck. You have to do it. You do what you have to do. When there's Ahava, you do something more. You do something extra. No? That's the aside. The aside is, you'll never be inspired by what has to be. Never. You'll never be inspired by what has to be. You'll be inspired by something more. It'll motivate you, it'll get you going. Forget about the person who gets the gift. That's for sure. Someone who gets a show of Ahava, for sure. But the one who does it, the one who shows Ahava, Adam Nifak Fipullah, say it in the. Showing Ahava makes a breeds Ahava. When you show Ahava, it makes you be a bigger Oyev. That includes when you go on vacation. person goes on vacation, he shows that he wants to be sitting and learning. He has to work. On vacation. You shouldn't make fun. These people went on vacation with his minyan. There are people who go to vacation where forget about learning. Forget about shkia. There's not even a minyan people go. It's mind-boggling. You go on vacation places where there's no minyan? That's very hard to understand. It's interesting. When I was in London, they had a gathering. They called it a university students, but judging by the crowd, it was all kinds of people. And I spoke, and then they asked questions. One of the questions they asked me is if they're allowed to go to vacation to America, because from London to America, the way the flights go, you have to miss at least 1 minyan. When from America to London. So are they allowed to go? Because they'd have to miss at least 1 minyan. I guess there's no 10 people on the typical British flight. I gotta go just on a vacation, you'd have to miss a minyan. No, that's vacation. You go on vacation, you make a cheshbon, you have to miss a minyan. Yeah. So one person told me afterwards, he was in the year of Avelus, he didn't want to miss, so he did a stopover and he was able to do it. You know, able to catch a minyan. Okay? But the point is, when you have opportunity to do something more, that's what counts. In the Megillah, there was a gezeira, lahashmid, laharig, la'abe, kol Yehudim, right? All the Yehudim. You know, the end is going to be, the Jews are going to be saved, you know that. If you guys are like, you know, maybe. It could be Mekuyim. But if the Bikish Lakar Sakoil, it's impossible. It can be Iker Sakoil. Because Baruch was Matia Kla Yisrael, you know, we're the eternal people. The people hate to steer it. It says in Chumash that there's so many Jews. It says in Chumash, Atemamat, Mikolo Amin. You know, people tell me, it says in Chumash, there's so many. How many Jews are there in the world? We're a drop in the bucket. And I tell them, it says in Chumash. Loigarubchem, Mikolo Amin. You're not many, you're few. Atemamat, Mikolo Amin. I, it says you're many. So the Nesivus says in his Pirushan of the Agadita that an eternal people is many. Other nations, they're a trillion, you know, you have a billion Chinese. Always, I don't understand why God needs a billion Chinese. If God will let me ask him how he ran the world, that's the question I want to ask him. Why a billion Chinese? Who needs a billion Chinese? Like how, you know, how much interaction they have with Yidden? You understand it? Where'd they come from? A billion? How much a billion is? It's a lot of Chinese. So I don't know. You know, it's... But an eternal people, that's forever, so there's no, this ain't safe. It ain't safe. It took us a long time to get to a billion, but so there's a gzeira lahashmil ayos kol Yehudim. So if you never heard the Megillah before, you know that at the end, the story, you know, it's not going to happen. It doesn't inspire as much as Mordechai. Mordechai was what inspired the Dar. Mordechai is what inspired the people. It was safe from Gzeirah. Gzeirah gets the Yidden, and Gzeirah is stopped. It's certainly a very very big relief. But from a relief, you're not inspired. People don't get inspired. You know, you have a splinter and it hurts, and you take it out, it doesn't inspire anybody. You have something that hurts, and you take it away, it doesn't inspire. But you see Mordechai. Imagine. See Mordechai. Mordechai is what inspired. Mordechai is what inspired. Is Atzala. Atzala happened. You can read the Psukim. Those Psukim of Atzala. But you want to be inspired. The Raisim Yachet Chelus Mordechai. It was Raisim Yachet Chelus Mordechai. It means that Mordechai was in the government buildings and he's wearing his tzitzis out. You know what it means? The Raisim Yachet Chelus Mordechai means. You know what it means? Must the tchelas there refers to the royal garments? I don't know, but that's what it means. When we read the four psukim, that what should inspire somebody. Certainly in that dar, that's what inspired. It's a big message. It's not just message of geula, the Klal Yisrael was saved, the Hatzolah. It's a different message. It's a message of it being meaningful to the people of the generation. Mordechai. Mordechai now is Vayosem. Mordechai, Pasuk says that Esther placed Mordechai al Beis Haman. in the house of Haman. So one of the Mefarshim, yes, why did the Mikil have to tell us? You care if Mordechai ran Beis Haman, or if Esther ran Beis Haman, or if they got some other Gabbai to run the Beis Haman. What's for Yosem? Why do you have to bother Mordechai? Mordechai has better things to do than run Beis Haman. Inspired the people. Inspired. The Tzol of a Samecha came from being inspired. Adar and Purim remained that way at Hayyim. The fact that Klal Yisrael was inspired, Kimu v'Kiblu. Kimu v'Kiblu is not because they're going to kill you and they don't kill you. That doesn't make Kimu v'Kiblu. It's a relief. Relief doesn't inspire people. Mordechai and Esther inspired people. Mordechai and Esther inspired people. Kimu v'Kiblu. Kimu v'Kiblu. Says Esther was the one that communicated with the Gedalei Hadar about making Megillas Esther part of the Tanakh. I feel till today Purim is a time of potential for tremendous inspiration, and some people do it and some people don't. Some people lose it. The first Purim I was married, I got married Hanukkah time. So Purim is Shana Rishayna, right? So Shana Rishayna, you know, my wife prepared a bunch of Mishlach Manis and, you know, the old relatives and new relatives. And we borrowed a car. We didn't have a car. In those days, some people didn't have cars. We borrowed the car. Put all the Mishlach Manas in the back seat, and we were going to do our rounds. We made the mistake of driving down 16th Avenue on Purim. And it was very, very difficult. I pulled the car over and parked it. I told my wife, let's go for a walk. It's not Purim. It's not Purim. What happened with all this? I don't remember what happened all. The only thing both of us remember from that Purim is that I parked the car across the avenue from Lakewood Minyan, it happened to be. And we went for a walk on Purim. We enjoyed Purim. We tried to feel Purim. Purim could be, for many people, Purim is a stressful day. It could be very stressful, especially if you're blessed with children. They have to go to the Rebbe and the Mora. Like Baruch Hashem, you know, sometimes they had a Rebbe who lives in Lakewood. He couldn't go to them on Purim. It was Machaya. But it's very, very hard. It's very hard to cover all your obligations. But don't let Purim go by without it. The Kimu v'Kiblu, it's still in the air. It's still there. The reason we keep Adar Sheni Purim, not Adar Rishon, Rashi says, is to be Seinach, the inspiration of Purim, the Nisim of Purim, to the Nisim of Pesach. It's a preparation for Pesach. So, this is my thought. I don't know if it's correct. Why these Dalal Psukim Shel Geula are all about Mordechai? The Brisker Rav says, B'loshen Kasha, he says, even the Maaser Simchas Olsen from the Seder Psukim from Shoshanas Yaakov sounds like it's also about Mordechai. Seems that way. So at any rate, this is the old Yisayit and a new application. I think it might be emes in the kavanah of the Ramah. It's certainly emes in the way Purim seems to run here in Brooklyn. I've been Shabbat.